The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Simeon says to Mary and Joseph that their son Jesus will be a sign of contradiction. Contradiction to what? Well, contradiction to evil, a contradiction to the willfulness of human beings, a contradiction to what we want. But Jesus, as we know, is the way, the truth, and the life. So any straying from that is going to be a contradiction of what God desires for us. So right off, I wonder what Mary and Joseph thought of that phrase, your son's going to be a contradiction, a sign of contradiction. But we have those wise words from Simeon to the Holy Family. We too are called to be signs of contradiction in the world. Just like Jesus, just like Mary, Joseph, just like Simeon, just like Anna, we're called to be contradictions to the evil in the world, to counter it, to say, no, that's what not God has in mind. Now, we people think that we know what should be true, what should be happening, what should be allowed, so forth and so on. And yet God tends oftentimes to contradict our own desires and expectations. You know, we want this, we want that, we want God to do things our way. I have said many times to God in great gentleness, but firm, "Lord, listen to me. I'll tell you the way you should be doing things." Well, it doesn't work that way. So rather than changing God's will, I've got to change my will. I've got to see that what he does always isn't what I think he should be doing or what I want him to do. In that first reading from Malachi, we have this image of this King of glory in glory entering the temple, encountering his people. And then we have the fulfillment of it in the gospel passage, But there's no king of glory seated on a throne with incense and sacrifices. The king of glory is his baby being held by his mother. What a contradiction to what people expected. They wanted to encounter this great king, and what did they get? A little infant. And yet Simeon knew that this infant was indeed the king of glory, and the prophetess indeed knew that this was the king of glory. So their expectations were fulfilled because their expectations were in keeping with God's plan, God's desire for each and every one of us. So they recognize, and what did these two people have, which we need to develop in our own lives? Well, they had faith. They were faithful. No question about it. They were hopeful. They hoped that God will fulfill his plan. And really, hope is not something that is done. It's not a feeling or an attitude. It's really a reality, and that reality has a name, Jesus Christ. He is our hope. They had hope, even though they had not seen until that time the fulfillment of their hope. And they had patience. They had patience. Wow. Here are these two old folk, long in the tooth, just like me. But they're willing to be patient. They're waiting. And while they're being patient, they're not just doing this, that, and the other thing. Anna was day and night in the temple, fasting and praying. Wow, what an image of faithful, hopeful patience. Do we have that kind of patience? And then Simeon, too. You know, he wanted to die, to go to the Lord, but he knew the Lord wanted him to see the fulfillment of his hopes. And he was able to see the Messiah come to him. He recognized it. If we want to recognize Christ coming to us each and every day, we have to be faithful, we have to be hopeful, we have to be patient. Now, of course, there's more contradiction going on as well, because what does Simeon say to Mary? He doesn't say, Mary, you're going to have a wonderful life. Everything's going to go very smoothly. This, that, and the other thing are going to happen that are going to bring you great joy. No, he says, and what must have Mary thought? A sword is going to pierce your heart. Wow, to hear that from this old man who recognized her son as the Messiah, and she's being told she's going to suffer big time. She's going to share in her son's sufferings. And there again, we too, we've been presented to the Lord in baptism, and we are told, we may not like it, but we have to suffer as well. We have to carry the cross. We have to do what Jesus did. Again, a sign of contradiction. We don't want that, but that's the way to heaven. And as the writer of the book of Hebrews says, God became a human being to show us the way. So here's again a topsy-turvy world of contradiction. Heaven comes down to earth. God the Son becomes a human being. Didn't have to do that, but he did it. He let go of his privileges and his powers, so to speak, as a king of heaven. But he became a human being, and he suffered not only to show us the way, but to be in solidarity with us, so that if we want to go to heaven, we have to suffer. We have to follow the path of Jesus Christ. So we are called to encounter God as God is, not as we want him to be. We're called to live our lives according to the will of God, not according to the way we want to live them. So there's always going to be contradiction in our lives. We're always going to have God turning the tables, flipping things around. When we expect things to go in this way, he's going to say, no, I want you to go that way. But that's the story of salvation. It is about God, about God's ways, not about my way, not about your way, not about how I understand the way things should go, but rather how God is doing it and saying, come, just follow, just be faithful and follow. So all of us, again, as disciples, we're just like Simeon, we're just like Anna. We are called to be patient. To be patient in an active way, doing what we're called to do, to love God, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Patient for the end of the world when God comes, but also for the comings of Christ each and every day in our lives, so that we will recognize his coming and follow him. We're called to be faithful. How are we faithful? Well, by believing that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, praying, making sure we have a wonderful relationship with him, so that we're not going to be totally surprised when things get contradicted in our lives. And we're called to be people of hope. Hope is a wonderful, wonderful virtue, and again, it's a being. It's God himself. We have that being in our lives. We truly have hope. It's not because I feel hopeful, but because I know God is God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm called to bear him into the world, to take him into the world. Just as Mary and Joseph brought him into the temple, we carry him in our very flesh, in our blood, in our hearts, in our minds, so that we too are bearing the God of hope, he who is hope, into the world each and every day. But it's a journey. We have two older people in the gospel today. They spent their whole life preparing for this particular moment. We too must use our entire lives preparing constantly each and every day to continue to grow in our faith, to recognize Christ in our midst, and then to do what we are called to do. So God has given us everything we need. He even corrects us when we need to be corrected. Again, it may not be the way we want it, but he does that out of love for us. We have his graces. We have his blessings. We have his word among us. We have his very flesh and blood. What more could we want to be faithful, hopeful, and patient Christians? But we have to commit ourselves to that every day so that to the day we die, and hopefully on that moment when we die, we'll be like Simeon. We'll say, Lord, thank you. I see it all now, and I come to you in joy. But that's our hope, and it will be fulfilled if we are faithful to our Lord and Savior. So let's pray as a people of faith, as disciples of the Lord, we will show the world what faith is, what patience is, what hope is, active faith, active patience, active hope that acknowledges that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the one whom we follow each and every day.